Of course, our
Yes.
husbands both are very tech and
Gosh.
they love it. And they love it.
They do,
And
bless
it's
them.
so much easier. You know, it's so much easier to turn this on. How difficult is it to go turn off a lamp?
I have no issue with it. I
You
have
know what
no
I'm
issue
saying?
with turning. It's like, let's make it so we don't have to walk at all ever. I'm like, is that really what we're doing? This counts as my steps. I gotta go turn the lights off.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Watermelon.
Well, Ron has the flu.
Yeah.
Or he got the flu Saturday. And I got to school. Well, I woke up with a headache and I thought, here it comes. And about second period, I went to the nurse. I said, hey, will you take my temp real quick? And she said, it's about 99.7. She said, you don't have to go home with that. And I said, well, Ron has the flu and I've already taken, like Alka-Seltzer that has Tylenol in it. And she said,
Oh, so it's already repressing the
oh yeah,
fever.
it's already, yeah. So,
Okay. Oh.
but I had actually gone up to the school on Sunday when Ron got the flu. I mean, your husband has it, pretty good chance you're going to get it. You know, you're in the, it's just you are.
Yeah, there's a good
So
shot. There's a good
there's a good
chance.
chance. So I went ahead and went up there and got a bunch of work. Just in case I didn't even make it till Tuesday,
Well,
but
that was smart.
I did get Tuesday because we were out Monday for Martin Luther King Day, and then so we had school today, even though it's, you know, 0 but 30.
Man, seriously, it's so
It
cold.
is freezing.
I was like, I need to go out to my van and grab a couple things I left up in there. And I'm like, nope, it can just stay.
Right. And then anyway, so I got subs for the next 3 days and I'm going to do my podcast and I'm going to go lay down.
I think that's a good
Stop.
idea.
So
We appreciate your dedication.
dedicated right here. I'm telling you.
Hey everybody, welcome. Welcome. That was a little preamble. We'll see if it
Yeah.
makes it in probably. Because you guys have nothing better to do than hear about our illnesses. But welcome to
Right.
episode 120 of Designer Cornbread. I don't know if I sound any different, but I have a new microphone. I was just telling Joni,
She's
I have a
very
new
proud. Y'all, you're
have
going to
a
hear
new
about this microphone through the entire
Listen,
episode today.
if I don't, well, part of it's in case it's like messed up and I have to like go, I'm sorry, it's because I can't figure it
A
out.
new microphone.
I have a new microphone, but no, I hope it sounds better. My husband, got it for me because anytime they can get tech. But listen, he and I are about to have a big fight. I mean, we're about
Uh-oh.
listen, because the tech, and you can relate to this probably more than I can. But he, for Christmas, he got me
Oh.
all kinds of speaker. I don't even know what it is. It's all Apple stuff. Some big cool, speaker, and it's all for me to make it easier for me to listen to my stuff around the house, which is so sweet. And it's a beautiful speaker, and it's lovely, and I will definitely enjoy it. So he knows I'm making fun of him though. But the speaker, and we've done through it. We've gone through the Alexa. We've gone through the pods everywhere. And you know what he does? He gets mad because he's like, who's using all the Wi-Fi, all these devices? But I think this one is like internal. That's what he likes about it. It's not like it's on your own router. So it doesn't go out anyway. I don't know. But he got me all this stuff. Then he got all these smart light bulbs and outlets, which again, we've kind of done a little bit. And that you can control it all with your phone. And Joni, I don't know, y'all. Y'all just need to put. Now it's very cool. There's these special bulbs, and he put them in, and you can do all kinds of colors. It makes things dimmable. And for some things, I'm really loving it. Like I have a light over our dining room that to switch it on. It's like a swag light. I had to get down by the outlet because that's where the switch. Anyway. That's great. There's a little Christmas tree, there's a light that wasn't dimmable in the family room. That now, so like there's some places where I'm like, oh, I really am going to love that.
Yeah.
It's very cool. But when I come in and that fool has put everything on this app and I can't turn on a ding dang light in the house, I almost had to come apart. Yeah, I'm like,
it's very easy for them. Then I'm left going, I just can't.
And at yours, at least at your house, as much as it drives me crazy because I always mess up your lights and I apologize. But I know. But at least you just you talk to it, Google. And it does it. Mine, I have to go get the phone and I'm like, I don't have the phone. I mean, I do carry it around, but it's not attached to me all day long. And he's like, this is gonna make it easier for you. And he put all the living room lights onto one thing of living room. And he's like, look how easy that is at the end of the night to turn that off. But there's like five lights in the, and I'm like, honey, I like to I want to light on what I want to light on. And I said, can I turn it on even when that's off? And he tried it and he was like, because you sometimes can't. Anyway, y'all don't need to hear about this. But I looked at him, I said, and he's like, it makes it easier for you. I'm like, but it's not. I'm telling you, I just want to be able to turn a dang light on and off when I want it on and off. And I honestly, I don't really have a problem.
Can I say something here? Of course, our husbands both are very tech and they love it. And they love it.
They do.
And it's so much easier. You know, it's so much easier to turn this on. How difficult is it to go turn off a lamp?
I have no issue with it. I have no issue with turning. It's like, let's make it so we don't have to walk at all ever. I'm like, is that really what we're doing? This counts as my steps. I got to go turn the lights off and on. Okay. And throughout the day, like, again, I'm the one that's home.
Yeah.
So it's like, I want stuff on how I want it on. And then when I'm done or later, you know, I want the control over it that I want. I'm
ready to go back to, you know, just the remote control and the three networks.
I'm just,
you know, we're going to stream everything.
Oh, we got a new TV. We got a new TV remote too. And it's like, it's got a new thing on it that's like sensitive. Yeah. So your finger, like, and now I mess up the TV all the time. You guys, it's been rough. It's been a little hard, but he loves, and he really is trying to, as he says, he's like, I'll make it easier for you. And I'm like, but it's not, if it's not for me.
I will tell you, right. Yeah. It's
if
easy
I have to go find my phone in the other room.
And that's the thing. You and I are not attached to our phones. No. I mean, they're not like on it.
It's usually in the same room. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, but I know. They have their remote for the TV on there. He's like, look how easy you can do the TV remote. I'm like, I do get that. Like, that is cool. I can learn. And especially like when you're doing a search on all the streaming, you can type it like a normal, you know, you can text it, you know what I mean? Yeah. Rather than the typewriter on the TV where you're like moving the thing. So totally get that.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's a good, but man, I'm like, what are you going to do when you lose your phone? And the other thing is, I'm like, when people come over or the kids come home, they can't do the dang lights. Like, Avery's like, how am I going to come home and be like messed up the whole house? I'm like, I know, honey. I guess you have to get the app for our house to work the lights.
What am I going to do? I've got a key to your house, but I'm not going to be able to do the lights.
You won't be able to get a ding
I can
ding
break
light
in, but I can't
you
do
can
anything.
You can, but you're on your own when you get in here. You can't work the TV. You can't work the... I'm telling you. Anyway, it's wonderful. Thank you, Pookie, for thinking of me. He did get me this mic and this arm for my thing.
I will tell you that what I do appreciate about Tim and all that is he was talking about your speakers at Thanksgiving.
Oh,
that he thinks,
he did. It came. He ordered it.
You know, because I think, and I'm training Ron a little better, but I mean, his gift, his love language is not gift giving.
Yes.
And so he's like, oh, it's Christmas Eve. Dang, I got to run.
I hit that Walmart.
So, Walmart's the only thing open. I'm like, do not.
Just, come and go gas station. Yeah. You got to get down there and get something.
You got to get to the gross. So that thing grosses me out. Never mind.
Well, and it's true. And you know, let's be honest. Here's the thing is I'm like, we don't do like, I actually got him a couple gifts this year. I was very proud of myself because usually I just can't think. I know it sounds terrible. Gift giving is not my love language. I do like to get gifts and it's fun, but I'm okay at it, but it's not like my best thing. So, you know, and you get to this point in your marriage too. It's been for a while where you're like, you know, what do you want? Even for your birthday, I'm like, what do you want? So really Tim got himself a bunch of speaker and a smart And I'm like, really? And that's fine.
Yeah.
Because that's what he wanted. And, you know, I'm blessed out the yin yang. He got me a couple other neat things. And, you know, that's fair. That's fair. So anyway, I don't know how we got on this.
I think the big news or the big thing or big talking point is the inauguration.
Guys, it was yesterday. We're the day after. We're recording a day late because we wanted to be able to just watch everything and not have to stop. And
so what I appreciate about the inauguration,
tell us.
Even no matter, I mean, look, sometimes you're going to have people that you like get in, and sometimes you're not going to have people that, you know, you wish didn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter where you stand on that, I mean, all this stuff,
it's so fun, all the
pageantry and the tradition and the history and all that. But this was the first thing as I was watching that I thought, I love that. I didn't know that. So Trump was staying, you know, they were staying at the Blair House, which is the White House's guest house. Anyway, and they say it's lovely. Have you been in there?
I've seen the outside,
I've never been in, but they say it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
But they had owned it. They owned it, but it wasn't necessarily a guest house until Winston Churchill stayed at the White House. And did you hear that? I thought, oh, that is
Go ahead and tell it.
So Winston Churchill was staying at the White House, and they said at 3 o'clock in the morning, he is, you know, marching up and down the halls of the White House with this cigar and yelling for President Roosevelt. So I guess they had some business to attend to. I don't know. And finally, the staff came to him and said, perhaps you'd be more comfortable over at the guest house.
Yes.
And that is when the guest started staying.
from a somewhat unruly guest makes you get a guest house.
I mean, can't you see Winston Churchill?
I can't. And he was famously a late night whiskey drinking, cigar smoking. Exactly. You can totally see that. And them being like, and if you've seen the you know, pictures and stuff of the living area of the White House, there's kind of a big hallway, like a big hallway in the middle, and the rooms are kind of all off of it, sort of. So like if he's pacing up and down that, you know, big hallway, it's kind of right there by everyone's room. So that is really funny. I love that.
And the White House staff suggested that he would perhaps be more. I love it.
Eleanor went to the chief usher and said,
to get him out of my
chimney smoking
house.
Loud mouth. Get him out. Because my husband needs sleep.
but you hear all these, you know, all these stories and traditions and things as you watch this. But it was just, I love it.
Yeah, so, I do too. That was saying because you texted. We ended up texting and then we were talking for a little bit. But I'm like, this is my Super Bowl. Like and it's only every 4 years, and you know, so that obviously makes it more rare, but I geek out. I geek out on it because I do like politics. I mean, I'm interested in all that, but also just all the behind the scenes and, like you said, the tradition and the logistics and what has to happen and who's going where and who's looking at who and who. And I saw some things. Let me tell you what.
Well,
I saw some interesting things.
Let's get into a little bit of that, because this is, you and I, we don't like to really discuss politics on these things, but this has hit both sides of the aisle. And that I am hearing, and that is the, you know, the mic drop, I think, of the whole thing was the tech brothers all showing up.
The tech bros.
And sitting right behind Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
In front of the cabinet?
In front of the,
in front of.
Yes.
There they were.
The tech bros. And I went, what is up with this? And so here's the deal. The liberals are freaking out about it. This is not good. They control too much. They, you know, why are they there? This, and this. And the conservatives are going, why are they there?
Right. Like, when did this happen?
What's going on?
Yeah, we're all equally dismayed.
Everybody
so that's good.
Is dismayed. I mean, from that's across a
unifying,
the board.
We're unified.
We are unified on that.
He brought us together. Way to go, buddy.
The biggest unifying thing is everybody saying, why
Everyone
are the
going, what is
Tech
happening?
brothers there? What's going on?
Yeah.
But yeah, so
it's
the
interesting.
conservatives are like, yep, rats jumping ship looking
Yep.
for the
That's what,
lifeboat.
hoping to land in
You
a
know,
boat, lifeboat.
you know, and I
I
was
don't
saying,
know.
and honestly, you know, from both sides, I mean, you're talking to a person here who I have had Bible verses that were banned from Facebook
Oh,
or were
sure.
deleted from Facebook,
Yeah.
and they weren't anything controversial. They were not, it wasn't anything political.
Right.
It was not, it was a Bible verse.
Yep.
You know, and when people start censoring your Bible verses,
Yeah. Yeah, it's I mean, everyone knows what's been going on, and you know, that's the reality. And then the irony that all of a sudden people are like, they're here because they're very concerned about free speech. And I'm like,
No, they're not. No.
okay, let's just move forward, guys. Let's just move
So
forward.
on that, I did hear Zuckerberg, when they were questioning him, say that, you know, well, why was this done or why was that done? And he said, well, because
Yeah.
they told us to.
He blamed by he laid it
Yeah,
right at the feet.
he did.
Yeah. He
And
said we were
they said,
scared.
who?
Yeah.
Who? And he said, well, the Biden
The
administration.
administration.
And they
Yep.
said, but who? Who told you that? He said, I don't know. I wasn't
Yep.
in those meetings.
Yep.
Well,
You
bull, I'm
gosh
sorry.
darn should have gotten in that meeting if you're the head
You
of
are
the
the head
whole
of the
thing
company.
and
You,
someone is telling you that someone is calling and saying you should do something. Maybe you should take that
Maybe
meeting.
you
I don't
should.
know. That's just a thought. Speaking of which, oh wait, we can still talk about pres, but I have another plank to add to my presidential platform.
Okay, go
Okay.
for
And then we can jump back into whatever fashion or whatever we want to talk about.
it. Because that's coming, ladies and gentlemen.
But really quickly, when I run for president, as you all know, I have several planks that I'm already have told you about on my presidential platform, very important things. And I have a new one now, which is when I become president, it will be required that when TVs or movies do adaptations of books or other things or whatever it is, the characters in said TV and book or movies, the actresses and the actors must have the same color hair as the character in the book.
That they're okay.
Okay. This is a simple thing. Guys, we can do this day one. I sign the executive order day one. This happens because I am tired. And there's one particular show that pushed me over the edge that none of you know about or care about, but it's based on a series of books. It's on Acorn. It's Agatha Raisin. It's a detective mystery thing, whatever, whatever. But it drives me crazy because, and the actress is very good who plays her. But I listen to the books and over again, like sometimes books don't really talk that much about it, but really over and over again in the book, they're like her shiny, glossy brown hair in a bob, her brown hair. It's wonderful. She has really good, shiny brown hair. Like it talks about, and her little bear-like eyes. Well, they've got this blonde, big blue-eyed person playing her, and it drives me crazy. And she's a good actress and she fits the character. But I need that to stop. And also, when you have child actors acting the part of a grown character in the movie, they need to have the same eye color as the adult actor that plays them later in the movie. I just need that to happen too.
Oh, well, that would be, yeah, that would be
Okay.
helpful.
Harry Potter, I'm looking at you with Lily and the green eyes, the eyes that match Harry. Oh, his eyes. And like little childhood Lily has like brown eyes. I'm like, you guys, listen. It's not hard. And especially with hair, just dye it. Just stick a wig on them.
Right. There you go.
Okay, I'm done. Back to you.
Let's go back to
Let's
the
go back to that. I just needed to make my case for, because it may be in four
So
years I
glad.
may run. You don't
You
know.
may. You may.
You don't
Yes.
know.
And if you do run and if you get it, I am coming.
Okay.
I am coming to the inauguration.
Okay.
I expect a ticket.
Oh,
And
yeah.
but
Oh, you're
I
doing the
will
brunch. You're doing the luncheon.
do you? No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, but I will wear clothing to your
Why,
inauguration.
what makes you bring up that fact, Joni?
Well, okay, so if you watched it, everybody already knows where I'm going because the whole internet is askew, which is probably actually
Good.
what she wanted.
Oh, it is. Oh, it
You know,
100% is. Look at
this is
me.
what she wanted.
Look at
Yeah,
me.
yes.
Yep.
So Bezos' girlfriend, I don't know her name, don't care. I think it's out there somewhere. She has on a, well, first of all, let me go back. Here are all these tech guys who are, you know, rolling in it. You know, they've got more money than they know what to do with. And they're coming in with these young girls on their arms.
Well, in and fairness, felt, that's what Trump did. I mean, Melania's a know, little younger I, than I him. Know. So, okay,
I know,
okay, carry
I,
on.
I know.
She's
I know.
A grown woman now, though. But anyway.
And I am sitting there, and I would throw him into these cabs. I mean, when yeah. I watched it, I felt very sorry for them. Because, and I told Holly this as we talked. I said, those girls aren't there because they love them. I mean, maybe they do.
It's love. Maybe, they love the yacht. They love.
They yeah, yeah. But you know, but I just thought, how is it you have all this money and all this success, and yet your entire world is artificial? And I mean, you looked so. Let's just go with Bezos here. His
yeah, because Zuckerberg has been married to the same person for a while. They yeah, have a little yeah, good little sweet yeah. little marriage.
So
I don't know.
Yeah, because we know them so well. We
I do. I talk to them all the time.
But, yeah. So, yeah. but y'all, his fiance comes into this and she has on this white coat. A lovely white coat.
Like a blazer, like a jacket.
Well, this mm-hmm. is no before.
Oh,
I mean,
before.
She had her coat.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so she gets into the inauguration, into the rotunda there. And she takes off her coat. And I went, oh, that poor girl, because the camera is right on her, mm-hmm. you know, and her mm-hmm. filled lips and her, I don't.
Yeah, there's been a lot.
There's been a lot of work.
There's been some stuff happening, which is fine. You do you, boo. Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
But we can
sometimes,
comment.
Sometimes.
But we can comment.
We can comment.
We can comment.
Anyway, she takes off her coat and I immediately went, oh my gosh, how humiliating. Because I thought that her jacket had like popped a button
right.
or come
undone. There had been a wardrobe malfunction.
There had been a wardrobe malfunction mm-hmm. because she has on this white blazer. And then I mean, you're just looking at her bra, white lacy.
This white lace push-up bra thing yeah. is just
well,
there.
God of mercy, that's how she intended it.
That was her outfit, honey. She worked long and hard
I mean,
to get
I was
that
like,
outfit going.
Somebody get that girl a safety pin. It was inappropriate. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, if you want to go to a party.
Oh, for
like
one of the parties after or something. Sure. Absolutely.
I mean, I'm going to say it's not inappropriate, but
it's,
I mean,
it's more in line with the dress
with
code.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
There's kind of a, yeah.
You're
appropriate was the right whatever. Word. That's the right word.
Okay. But this is the inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
This calls for an element of class.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Like just not showing any underwear.
Let's not. Yeah. I mean, as your outfit. And later, as you look, it's a corset. It was a white lacy corset.
Yeah.
That she just had out there.
I know.
No,
and it was,
I mean,
you know, the jacket was buttoned, but you could see it. Definitely. It just was what it was. I mean, there's so many people were like, oh, and bless her heart. Because I mean, and you were like, oh, she's going to look around and think all these people are, maybe I made the wrong job. I'm like, no, she's not.
She's
fine
not.
With it.
Because she did exactly what she wanted. Exactly. Now she is on the news and we're sitting here talking about
we
it.
We are. So darn it.
So yeah. So that's why I'm not even going to say her name.
But that's, you know.
It just was. But you know, and one of the things somebody said, you've got all that money and that's the best you can do. Okay, well, that statement I heard taken two different ways. Somebody, you've got all that money and that's the best clothing you can come up with mm-hmm, for the inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
The other is toward Bezos. You've got all that money and that's the best you can do.
Oh,
that girl's the best you can do.
And that's rude too. I mean,
and
that's all
rude. Too.
It's all, yes.
But that's, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure that's what she wanted. And
well, and money, as we have said, money does not buy good taste and it doesn't buy class. It can buy a lot of things. Don't get me wrong. I could fix a lot of problems and I could be it fixes a lot of worries. It really can, but it can't buy taste. It can't buy class.
And it can't buy trust.
No.
I mean, that's, you know.
Which is, yeah. Well, but anyway.
What good's that?
I don't know.
Big yacht if you don't have people on there that you know have your back.
I know. That's what I said to you. I said, I'd rather just be bebopping on a floaty in your pool, having
that's
our
right.
little, you know, Coco Rita and be happy as a clam.
Yeah.
I mean, yachts are scary, so I'm not going on a yacht. Okay, carry on.
Oh, I don't think they're scary.
Well, I don't want to be out in the ocean just in case stuff breaks down and you're just
the ocean's kind of, but on the lake is fun. The ocean is.
Yes, yes.
The rogue waves, I'll be honest, that kind of scares me.
And there's big things living down deep in that ocean, too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we digress.
So, anyway, okay. So next, let's move on to Melania. Her outfit. She was dressed to kill.
She was, as per usual. I mean, we don't expect any. No. I mean,
and she's, but my only complaint and that hat, you know, everybody's talking about the hat, but I'm like, oh, but it covered so much of her face. And
no,
she's
but
just
I'm telling you, that was purposeful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was, no, I'm just going to say the wall came down a little bit. Okay. Yeah. You don't get to come in.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a nice little like protective, not in a way of like I'm scared, but just kind of a you don't.
Yeah,
it's a little bit of a wall and a serious. You know, she didn't. As I text you, I'm like she did not
she
come
ain't
to
playing.
Play. I'm like she means business.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and in contrast, you know, there's Miss Vance who's just coming in. Bless her heart.
Oh,
you
precious.
Know, she's just innocent and you know just
pink,
coming into this
wide-eyed, smiling.
Pink, yes, and Melania's you know been there, done that.
Yeah,
been
she's
abused,
she's
done,
the veteran.
Yeah,
it was great.
Done.
It was.
Want to mess
really
with me?
Funny.
Come on. Yeah, yeah. So. And then Ms. Biden, Jill Biden, I loved her purple.
You did because that's pretty much what we wore at your wedding. You texted me and said she could be a bridesmaid at my wedding. Look at her purple outfit. I said, I recall. It did.
It was a very pretty color.
It was.
Who had the blue dress? I lost it.
Blue dress.
That powder blue dress.
Oh, Gnome, Christy Gnome.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
That powder blue
dress.
Yeah,
that beautiful blue dress. And we are going to go ahead and say Ivanka in the green. And
That
beautiful two-piece hunter green, forest green, and the little hat. Mm. I mean, you know, this is what this is the whole part of it. This is what makes this event, again, doesn't matter what party, it doesn't matter, you know, you might be happier one year than another, but just seeing everybody, you know that they're taking time with what they're wearing. Fashion is a part of it, you know, and so it makes it really fun. And then you have the balls and then you have all the, you know, I'm always like who's sitting by who and whom and who's doing what and behind the scene. And I mean, I'm just like, I turn into a giant like gossip columnist and I'm like at this point. Oh, and there's a swearing in and all that kind of stuff. I was irritated. Yeah. I'm gonna be real here. I need to give a big fat designer cornbread boo to Chief Justice John Roberts.
Yeah.
I don't know what
he
was
did
going
not.
On.
Well, I don't know if he was trying to get in there in that time frame because
I think he was.
But I think
he
was past
rushed.
It. I think it was past
it was. It,
it
was 11:03 so when
you
he
might as well just take your time and go with it. So guys, here's the deal. The change of power takes over by the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Change of power happens at noon, Eastern time.
Yeah, noon is when it happens.
Regardless of whether they've taken their vows or not, it happens. And so, for whatever reason, and usually they are pretty stellar on that. Like the vows start happening at 11:57.
Yeah, they try to get it done before take the oath.
But
before.
It was already passed. You know, it wasn't happening at, you know.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm sure that was what it was. I'm sure that was the pressure because that's the only thing. I'm like, he's standing there and it's your one job. Like he knows what he has to do here. Yeah. And the whole family, Melania wasn't even up with the Bibles. He did not get his hand on that Bible. And I mean, I know hope people don't
he
make
did.
A big,
he
no,
did.
He didn't. No, he didn't.
I thought he reached for
no,
it.
He
I'm
didn't.
Pretty sure
I saw,
there's a
no,
camera.
Nope.
There's a picture of it.
Nope.
Where he reached for it.
He did not. The picture I saw from below, his, you know, hand is just down. There's a good shot of it. And he did not. Now, and I heard people saying, and I mean, it's a big deal. And she's been sitting there with those two Bibles.
Yeah.
It's a very important part of it. Again, does it mean anything legally? Does it mean anything? No. But it's a very important part of the ceremony that people want to see. This is the culmination of why we're all, whatever, again, of the whole event. This is the climactic point.
And I think he picks those Bibles, doesn't
he? He does.
I mean,
they're
family.
Yes. They're very special, whatever. The point is, this whole ceremony that we're doing, aside from being a legal, constitutionally mandated thing, is a tradition, is a, you know, time for us to kind of have a ceremony and a tradition. And I mean, he started giving him the oath. Robert started reading him the oath. Yeah. Melania was not even standing next to him yet.
Yes.
Yeah, and the family was all trying to gather
around. The family was still, he was partway through his oath and the family wasn't even around him.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah. Robert's, I'm sorry, this is very important and you've just rushed through this. And again, I don't care what kind of pressure, you're a freaking Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
You can withstand pressure and you can sit there and go, you know, because like for Vance, his whole family had to come in, like they, which was precious. They, the Marine people brought in his little kids, they got settled, they did the whole thing. Yeah. And then with Trump, it was like, boom, 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 boom. And I'm what happened?
So listen, let's talk about the Vance children for a second.
Oh, the precious.
Oh,
Vance.
Precious, y'all. But look, somebody woke them up in the back and they did not even get that hairbrushed. It was so great.
And her with the little band-aid, and her like with you said, her superhero band-aids.
And her thumb, you know, sucking on her thumb. I just, you know, and they have no idea really, you know, what's going on.
No.
They have no idea.
And I just kept thinking, of course, as all of us as moms and dads, you know, I mean, you remember having to just stand up in the front of the church for like one of your younger kids' baptisms with your other two.
Yeah.
It's the most stressful thing you'll ever go through in your life.
Yeah.
Your life. Because you're just, and here you are with these three young children on a national, worldwide stage.
Yeah.
And you, kids are, you know, and they were delightful. And later at the parade, they were kind of bopping their parents on the head and they had, they were kind of like, you know, they're regular kids, but you're just like, man.
I love applaud. It. I love seeing them. And I love seeing, Kate and Willie, Prince William and Princess Kate's.
Oh, they're the Charlotte, children. Little Charlotte and all that. Yes.
Oh, all of them. What's the youngest?
Louis
is, he might
He's
as well
a pistol.
Be King Louis from the Jungle Book because I mean he is all over the place. I love seeing
he's the baby man. He's the baby. I mean he's like wow.
He's making faces and
it just makes him great. You know, of course it just humanizes everybody and it's just all that kind of stuff that you're seeing these little children and you like you said they don't have any you know any concept of what's happening. But later they'll look at that video and be like oh. Wow.
Right.
Oh, so, it was great. And Baron.
Baron. Yeah.
He's a precious peanut. I was saying something to my dad earlier today because, you know, he's very reserved. I mean, you don't.
Yeah, he is very reserved.
He's his mother to me. People are like, he's got a lot of his father in him. Look what a showman he is. I'm like, no, he's his.
He is his
mama.
Very
reserved and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he was being sort of fun. Loosening up a little at the parade, which was cute. And I was like, you know, I almost feel like I need to like call Thatcher and say, Thatcher, you go find him just so you can be his friend. So he can have someone that's only like a couple, 3 inches shorter than him to look at. Will you be his tall, his shorter, tall friend? Yeah. So he can just have someone to walk next to him.
Right. Bless his heart.
I know. Anyway. Yeah. So it was so fun. Fun to watch everything. And then let me just say this too, though. Man, the college football committee, I'm going to need you next time to not put it on the same date as the inauguration.
I didn't watch any college football.
I watched a little bit, but it was a big blowout. Yeah. Congratulations, Ohio State. But it was like too much because I was all, you know, in the inauguration and I was trying to watch the balls and see all that. And then there was this, you know, the national championship game. I'm just like... I mean, I'm sure a lot of people watched it.
There was so much. I mean, you had Martin Luther King Day.
It was Martin Luther King Day, which was, that was a neat symbolism for the inauguration. I think that was, that was drawn on by many people in their speeches and prayers. And that was very cool. But the college football people, I'm like, yeah, guys, can't do this to us. But I will give out the last spicy uniform award. Mm-hmm. No surprise. It's not going to Ohio State.
What?
It's going to Notre Dame because I watched a little bit. And of course, you know, they have a pretty good look anyway. You know, they've got good colors. They've got good, you know, helmets. And sure enough, of course, those helmets were that shiny gold. And then they had the dark, dark, rich navy blue jerseys. But But then on the side, on the shoulders, they had the Notre Dame emblem in shiny gold and their names in shiny gold on that navy. It was, oh, like, I'm like, you guys did a really good job. And then Ohio State, they were like, hey, here's what let's do for the championship game. Let's just wear our red and white jerseys and like dirty gray pants and helmets and put marijuana stickers all over them. That's what we're
right. That's what it looks like. Yeah.
We look great, guys. Let's go.
Let's go.
So anyway.
Well, I guess you don't have to look good when you're winning.
Well, it'd be nice. And
evidently, you don't have to wear clothes to the inauguration.
No, you don't, honey. We can just show up in our tube tops and they cannot stop us.
Gosh. Decorum, people.
Don't get invited. I know. All right, man, we've covered. What else? I've got other things to chat about. What else do you have to chat about? Do you have a catch up on anything?
No, I don't. I'm pretty good.
Okay. What?
No, I was just going to say Caleb has decided to try charcoal.
Oh, I saw that. Charcoal drawing, sketching, and drawing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he's coming out with some stellar stuff there.
He is. You posted that somewhere and I was like, look at that. Yeah. I thought it was really
cool. On my Facebook
page,
I've had a ton of people come and say, hey, is he selling these?
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really good. So
that's fun. Yeah. He's your little artist and he's living with my little artist. So they can just sort of... In fact, I wondered if he got that stuff from, did he buy it or did he get it, borrow it from HUD?
No, he bought it.
Okay. Because I know he had some, I don't know what, if he took any of that stuff, but Hudson did ask for some of his. He's like, I got to take some of my drawings down. I was like, well, I saved them all. So that's pretty cool. That's awesome.
They ought to have a well-decorated apartment then.
Yeah, they should. Only Hudson has a lot of naked people drawings. So it's just.
Okay, good.
It's fine. They're very good. And they're from the bad. They're very good. They're artistic. They're very good. He had his drawing class and they're very good, but that's very fun. Okay. Let's see. What else did I want to chat about? I know. Let's see. I did that. I know a couple things are, I guess they're sort of related, but one thing that I've been thinking about a lot is, and kind of seeing some stuff, you know, posts and stuff that have kind of resonated with me about the month of January. And I just think it's really cool. I'm sort of changing the way I'm thinking about January. And part of this is just stage of life. Part of this is this year, my fall was insane. So, I didn't have a lot of, there was just a lot going on. So when January comes, you know, I was already like, I have to rest. Like, I'm not planning anything. I have to rest because, I mean, mentally, again, not all of anything was bad. I mean, there were some hard things, you know, removing my mother-in-law and dealing with some stuff with that, but it doesn't matter. There was just a lot. And so I'm like, you know, January to me and winter in general, I've been thinking a lot about winter. There's a couple other podcasts and things that happened to come up as I've been thinking about this. And it's like, you know, winter, you know, we try so hard, and especially, you know, January is known for like, you know, new year, get it in gear, you know, plan, you know, all your things and make it better and hustle and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, guys, January, we need to take a hint from the seasons again, from the season we're in physically. Not just like season of life, but the season that we're in nature too. You know, winter is a time where things go dormant. They
hibernate.
Rest, they hibernate. And we, as human beings and as part of God's creation, funny how the creator, the artist who's made everything, has patterns in all of creation that follow through. We need to our, you know, you get more tired, you get more body aches. I mean, I read a whole thing about the things in winter that come about. And some of those things are, you know, the lack of sunlight can also, you know, lead to kind of some dark times for people, you know, and mentally in depression and all that, which needs to be dealt with.
Seasonal depression
and all that. But I think part of that might be because we don't embrace what we should be doing now in this season, which is not starting new and hustling. It's like we've just been through everybody. This is for our culture, for where we are. You know, we've all just been through the holiday seasons, whatever that is to you. For most people, you know, whatever it is, whatever holidays, you know, we've been through starting school, rolling into, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas and family and getting ready and cooking and decorating and all, really a heavy time of year, very fun, very, very awesome time of year. But it's like, we need to rest from that. Like January to me now is going to be a really purposeful, I'm really going to embrace that rest. And I know that doesn't mean not doing anything. People still have to go to work. People still have to, you know, get their kids to school and do all these things. But it's like, it kind of almost goes along a little bit with my words I did last, my words of the year, which were steady and fertilized. And if you missed it, you'll have to go back and listen because Joni mocked me. But
what?
You did. You totally mocked me. But it's like that idea that in the winter, things are not dead, but the roots are doing things. You know, winter wheat is planted, you know, it sprouts, it's planted in the fall and then it sprouts and then it just goes dormant for the winter. Mm-hmm. And then it's storing up, its roots are doing things, it's storing up all this stuff. And then the spring comes and it shoots up and it grows and it flourishes, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it just made me really think about that. And I felt kind of really like, maybe some people need to join me and hear, have that permission. Not that you need anyone to give you permission, but
I do. I feel so guilty if I stop.
Sometimes we do, but you have to think about it. Yeah. You have to think about it seasonally and in creation and being in harmony with, not that it means you don't, you know, you're doing all the, mm-hmm. but in a way it's like that. Cause like the fall, you think of the fall and it's like harvest and all these things coming together and the bounty. And that's, we have all these holidays and we have all this food and all this celebrate, you know, family. It's like a very harvesty, heavy work kind of time of year. And summer is, you know, nourishing and can, you know, growing a lot of things. Spring is a good beginning when things just start to, you know, that's a great time for, to start implementing. It doesn't mean you don't think about anything. Cause again, part of being dormant is kind of like sort of pondering some stuff, you know, giving yourself time to just sort of think about planning some things maybe, and how you reflective time a little bit.
That's one thing that I love about snow in the South. We're just not equipped like your northern cities. I mean, that's a way of life for them in the winter.
Right.
In the South, it's not. I mean, it's here for 3 days and it's gone. But you get a big blanket of snow and y'all, the whole world down here just comes to a screeching halt. And it's quiet. It's so funny how quiet it is.
So quiet.
Yep. You know, when there's a lot of snow, mm-hmm. but it makes you stop. And it's, I don't want to say it's a vacation. You know, we do have like, as far as school, cause I mean, everything revolves here.
Yes.
In small towns, especially around the school. Mm-hmm. And so everything is, you know, you have Christmas break, but frankly, y'all, that's just, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, it's this, got to do this, got to get here, got to, you know,
oh, for sure. It's a lot of,
you know, and they're wonderful things, but January comes and a huge blanket of snow comes and you can stop and you can, there is nothing that you have
kept from doing. In fact, you're not able to do, which is where you really notice it because when you're forced to not do it is when you kind of actually can embrace it a little bit, I think.
Yeah. And then, I mean, and you can go outside and you can play in it. You can get that activity going, but you're not out there, you know, too terribly long. You get freezing and you come in and you drink the hot cocoa and you wrap up in a blanket and you sit and you stop.
Yep.
You know, and it's a good, it's a good,
it's just, thing. It really, really has hit me this year. And again, for various personal reasons of my season and what this year's been, but also just in terms of like, I wish I'd, well, it doesn't matter. I wish I thought about this sooner in my life, but you know, in different times it can't always happen that same way, but you can mentally, I mean, like I remember in college, one of the things that was so great and a lot of colleges have, it's a J term or an interim term, January term. And we did up at Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan, we had a J term, January class that you just took. So when you got back from break, you had signed up, you know, for one class, and you would go every day, or, you know, pretty much, but it was just like, you know, I did a whole one on Mozart, and I did a whole one on, you know, whatever. And I think I got my French out of the way in one anyway, but it was like, just even having that as a student of a time of which, and you still need to be in school and, you know, but like just a little bit of a pause was very good for me. Even as in my 20s and in school. So I don't know. I think the thing that's got me really thinking about it is because I, like you said, I feel like there's so much I need to do. There's a lot I need to be doing. And I'm still doing stuff. It's not like, I mean, I still have booth stuff to do and I did that and that felt good. But I'm literally telling myself, like, almost like, calm down. Like, stop. Just give yourself a month. Yeah. To recoup a little bit, just recoup. And everyone can do that. Again, like I said, just not starting anything new, not, you know, and there's things, my house is, I've been slowly trying to get it back in order because it's still kind of crazy. But I've really pulled back on, you know, how much I need to get done today or what I need to, because yeah. I'm tired. Yeah. I'm tired. It gets dark. You know, and I want to sit
ready for bed.
Yeah. And I want to, and I'm like, and I think the worry comes to me when I'm like, oh, is this kind of how I am now? Cause then it starts to bring fear. Cause I'm like, yeah. Is this my life now? Cause like that, I don't think that's not really how I want my life to be all the time. Like I want to, and I, you know, there's other things I need to be working on. I am working on to increase energy and vitality and health. And we talked about that last time. But so there's things I want to do with that. But also just recognizing that it's also the season of winter. And my body and our minds and our souls and our spirits need to, we can rest. We can recover. We can recoup a little bit here so that when the season changes to spring and we start to feel more in it, you know, we are rested. We are mentally yeah. rested too. Some people, it's more that your brain just needs a freaking break, you know? So I don't know. It's just been on my mind a lot. And then coming up and things that I keep seeing, it's funny. I'm like, is Instagram in my brain right now? Cause they might be.
That's scary sometimes.
Yeah. But it's encouraging because it's like, stop fighting. I think we resist. When we resist, and this is true, again, metaphorically for the seasons in life that we're in, we've talked about this, the more we resist it and deny it, the harder it is. Yeah. That's just the harder it is. Instead of, you know, I don't know how to, you know, have a good example of that exactly, but you know what I mean? Like empty nesting or anything like that. Or kids growing up or whatever it is. And you're like, the more you resist it, the more you fear it, the harder it'll be.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know,
yeah,
that's just the way it is. So I don't know. Those are my winter deep thoughts with Holly.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Yesterday, I swear though, I sat too much. I'm stiff. I'm hurting. My arms, everything is hurting because I sat in that chair. I got up a little bit. You know, I got up and threw laundry in and I got up and moved some stuff, you know, when they started having commercial breaks and I could kind of get up. But man, I sat and I did a lot of, I had my cross stitch. So I was cross stitching away. And man, by the end of the night and then waking up this morning, I'm like, oh, I'm very
I
sore and stiff. And I'm like, that, I did a little too much, sitting, but that's other issues too. Again, we're achier in the winter. All these things happen. So I rotted on the couch.
You rotted.
I did.
It was very entertaining. It was very entertaining.
The day went really fast. I'm not going to lie. I was like, all of a sudden Tim was home and I'm like, oh shoot. All right. Anyway, are we ready for your recipe?
Yes. Hang on. I'm taking a picture. My dog, I have not the dog that died. He's in the ground.
Okay.
My second dog.
Okay.
My second dog is pitch black. I mean, he is
His name black. Is Shadow, and he is called that because he can sneak up behind you.
Shadow. I'm up in this room, and John Garrett has a black beanbag.
Oh.
And Shadow just scared me to death because I didn't realize he was on the beanbag.
And it started
And I
moving.
Saw something move.
That would
me
do
out.
It. So that would put me in the grave.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, oh, my gosh. He's can't watch. Okay, yeah. So my recipe.
Yes.
I'm actually not going to post my recipe. I'm going to post a link to it because this week was Dolly Parton's birthday.
Oh.
And a few years ago, you gave me a cookbook called Dolly's Dixie Fixins.
I forgot. I sure did. I'm such a good friend.
I am pulling a recipe out from Dolly's Dixie Fixins for you. It's her chicken and dumplings.
Ooh.
I'm just going to read to you. She said, if one dish takes me back to the Tennessee mountains, it's this one. Whenever one of our hens stopped laying eggs, which they do occasionally, and
they
started
them up.
Yes. Hang on.
Oh no.
Whenever one of our hens stopped laying eggs and started eating the other hen's eggs.
Oh,
we knew it was time for stewing.
Edna, don't stop laying.
I mean, sometimes, look, hens go through phases where they stop laying, but it's when they start eating the other hens.
Right, because then when you're poor and that's what you're living on, you
they start eating the
that.
Other. Then we knew it was time
for
stewing.
Daddy
would bring the freshly killed bird to Mama. She'd have everything ready for making the most delicious chicken and dumplings ever. Besides mine, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I was always at her feet waiting and watching, and she'd let me drop the dumpling batter into the steaming hot chicken pot with the big old spoon.
Aww.
All right. Then she gives you the recipe, but then she comes back and she says, don't ask because I'm not telling. I have the best recipe on earth for chicken and dumplings. Just ask anybody in my crews. I've made my version for almost everyone I work with, and they beg and beg me to jot the recipe down. Just ask anybody in my band. The bass player from the bluegrass session is always trying to find ways to get my dumplings, even when we're not working together. He brings his own bowl, spoon, drink, and side dishes whenever he comes to see me, hoping I'll round out the meal. In fact, he loves to tell me, the only thing I'd spit out this tobacco for is your dumplings.
Oh, okay.
But I'm like a lot of Southern cooks. And this is the truth right here, y'all. Maybe just in this way, I'm never giving up the secret to my famous dish. So you're getting part of her recipe.
Okay. Well, now I'm concerned because, like, I hope she gives it.
She's giving you
to
the basic.
Somebody,
I
like,
will,
before she dies, like, I hope she, like, puts
it
in a little capsule and wills it to somebody. Yeah. Okay.
She will somewhere.
Okay. I hope
All right. So you need a 3-pound stewing hen. That's been eating the other hen's eggs.
Some other hen's eggs. You got to go get it.
2.5 teaspoons of salt, 3/4 teaspoon of pepper, an onion peeled and left whole, 1/4 a cup of chopped celery leaves, 2 cups
leaves.
Of
I wanted to people
leaves,
didn't hear that. Leaves.
Yeah, because I kind of cracked there. 2 cups of all-purpose flour, plus a little extra for kneading. 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda. 3 tablespoons of vegetable shortening, and 3/4 cup of milk. All right. And then I'll tell you what is missing that I think she adds here.
Oh, good. Oh, I like this. Okay.
All right. You're going to combine the chicken and the 2 teaspoons of salt with 2 quarts of water in a Dutch oven. Cover it, bring it to a boil, reduce the heat to medium, and add the pepper, onion, and celery leaves. Simmer the chicken until the meat falls away from the bone. Remove the chicken and onion from the pot and strain out the celery leaves. Discard the onion and celery leaves and set the chicken aside to cool. When the chicken is cool enough to handle, remove the meat from the bones and cut into 1-inch pieces. Set aside. Discard the skin and the bones. Go ahead and get rid of the chin.
Get rid of
too.
The chicken chin.
Yeah.
We don't want that.
Meanwhile, raise the heat to high and bring the broth to a boil. Combine the flour, baking soda, and the remaining 1/2 teaspoon of salt in a medium bowl. Cut in the shortening with a fork and knife or a pastry cutter until the mixture resembles coarse crumbs. Gradually stir in the milk until the dough is moist.
Turn the dough out onto a floured surface and lightly knead it for about 5 minutes. Roll out into half an inch thickness and cut into 1.5 inch squares. Drop the pieces of dough into the boiling broth. Reduce the heat to low, cover and cook for 10 minutes gradually, or stir gently, and then add your chicken back to the pot and cook until the chicken is heated through. Okay, that is Dolly Parton's sudden or somewhat kind of chicken and dumplings.
Okay, now, it's her mama's recipe. Did she say her mama's recipe?
I guess this is her mama's. Okay. I don't know. Or this is just her basic chicken and dumplings. Now, I add pepper to my dumplings. And you need pepper in, in your dumpling dough.
Though that would be good.
You need pepper in there.
Yes.
Now, you could add some buttermilk to it too. That's going to give it a little richer flavor. And when I do my dumplings too, of course, you've got your chicken broth. But I add a little bit of milk or cream to my chicken and dumplings.
Yeah, I was going to say, how hers doesn't sound like it's or does some of the flour off the dumplings?
The flour, that's what makes it look creamy is the flour from the dumplings.
Okay, yeah.
Is what makes it look creamy. But I like to add a little milk or cream to mine. But y'all, you've got to put you got to put pepper in your dumplings.
That does sound really good. Yeah, just to give them a little bit. Even you could do white pepper if you want, if you preferred. That's more powdery, but a little bit. How much do you put in there, do you think?
Put it in there till it looks right.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, just kind of, you want to do too much. But,
I just sprinkle it in. I mean, yeah, I really have never measured it. I just do it. So
that sounds really good. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
But that would be my guess. I don't know. I've never had hers before. But those are just some step ups that I would take.
Yeah. Or she does something to the broth. You know what I mean? It sounds like there's more that could go in that broth too. Yeah. Like maybe she might even shake a little Tabasco or something in that broth, you know, just to like give it a little something. Like you said, the pepper in the dumplings or a little shake of Tabasco in the, it doesn't add a lot of heat. It just gives it some kind of a little more flavor. So, my goodness, that sounds good. That's a perfect January supper.
It is.
I'm going to come to your house. You may for me.
Okay.
Bye.
I may make it next Wednesday. We are going to start our Olivet Meals back.
Oh, okay. Or, you know,
where we cook. And we're doing a soup and sandwich bar. And I'm thinking about doing chicken and dumplings.
Wow.
Or one of those soups. I have a variety of soups.
That would be a big hit. That would be a big hit for sure. Well, that sounds amazing.
Look, it's always intimidating because Olivet is a country church. It's always intimidating. You know, cooking country food for country people.
Yep. It's like Cajun. No matter how good. Cajun relatives. Yeah. I'm like, don't take them to any Cajun places up here. Like, don't. Because they have the specific bread for the sandwich that makes the thing. It will not be right.
That's exactly right.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, are you ready for my top three?
Top three.
I am ready.
Okay. Number one is a makeup item because there you go. And it is I'm not really big into contour stuff because I'm just not good at it, but it's a contour powder, Sephora's powdered contour. And I use the light to medium and I just do it. I don't do my whole face and I don't even do it every day. But part of that's because a lot of contours, they're just not the right color. That people will use bronzer and they're too orange and they're too red and they just don't work. This is a really nice, cool, like it just gives you that shadow. That's what you want in a contour is you just want a shadow. You don't want it to look anyway. And it's a really good color and I will link to it, on the post there. And you can see the color of the one that I'm linked that is the light to medium. There's one lighter and then there's two darker on the screen. The color doesn't look like it does in real life. Cause on the screen, it looks pretty warm. I'm like, oh, that doesn't look like the color of mine at all. Cause the reason I bought it was I was like, ooh, that looks like a good little cooler color. So just know that your, computer screen doesn't show everything right, but I like it. And I just take a little bit and I just do again, not every day, but if I'm feeling it like for something, you just get a little in there and it's a good color. The second thing is, and some of you may not have you heard of a Butterbell? You know what a Butterbell is. Do you, Joni? So a Butterbell is just a little jar that you keep butter in. and it's already softened, so it's literally just ready to use. And we've used one of these for, I mean, I've had it for years and years and years and years, because when I stopped using margarine, you know, way back in the day. Been a long time. We haven't used margarine since, gosh, you know, late, mid-90s probably. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, but you want to have soft butter, and it's, and you can actually just, let's be honest, you can leave butter out on a plate, on a counter, covered for several days. I mean, it's not, people get all freaked out in America, but it'll be just fine.
It's fine, yeah.
But these little butter bells are, they're a French, I think they kind of originated in France, but basically it's like a little compartment, a little bowl that you fill up with the butter after you soften it. So let it soften, and then you put it in there, and they usually hold a stick, like mine holds a whole stick. And then you turn it upside down. It sticks in the little bowl, and it's got, it's on the bottom of the lid, and you turn it upside down and you put it in the jar that is filled with a little bit of cold water at the bottom. Now you can fill it more as the butter gets used up, but the idea is that then the butter is resting kind of on that water. So there's no air, you know, it's very sealed with like cool water, and you just keep changing out the water, you know, kind of as you use it, and you can fill it up a little more because the butter goes down, and it stays in there and it stays soft, and you just open it, flip it over, and you've got your little, your little butter all ready to go. So I love it. I was just using it. We used it a lot during the holidays and when the kids were home. And I'm like, oh yeah, people need to know about the butter bell. And then the last thing is something that I just started reading and using a little bit. I don't know if I've mentioned it before. I don't think I have. So I went ahead and got it's an NIV Cultural Background Study Bible, and it's a big old thing. And I'm just, I'm really enjoying it. I'd heard some things about it, people talking about it. It's just a good, it's a study Bible. So there, but there's, so there's a ton of notes, you know, at the bottom, it's got all the lot of footnotes, that kind of thing. But they, this one, as it says, really focuses on the cultural background of the times, of the places. So it's letting you know, just more things as you read through the Bible, that whether it's about the word or the translation or, again, the culture of where it is. Like for one example, I guess I was reading in Luke over Christmas, and it was like, it was just talking about how the people, people in New Testament and Old Testament times, I can't remember what the context was, they were trained to have very good memories. Like they could memorize a lot. And this makes perfect sense if you think about it. You know, a lot of the tradition was oral. And especially if you were a student or a disciple of a teacher, that was kind of your job, was to memorize the teachings of your teacher so that you would have it, because the written wasn't, you know, happening. And even like, you know, parents, even children had quite a good memory ability. And I'm like, oh, unlike us, where we're just like, blah, I have no idea. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. We don't have to. Our brains have, you know, that ability has gone dormant because we don't have to. And so it just was kind of talking about that, that because there's parts of the Bible when you're like, well, how in the world did they know all that? Or how could they remember to say it? And it's like, well, they really did have a better ability and importance put on memorization and all that kind of stuff. So it's just interesting. It gives you all kinds of tidbits about things and again, kind of focusing on the culture. Because, you know, the Bible was written at a time, at many different times, in real places, in real times. So as we try to understand it, it's very helpful if we're not just looking at it through a 21st century American mind. So we need to kind of to get that meaning.
And that is so important, because it is, I mean, the culture, the times, there were things that when you understand that, it becomes so much more meaningful.
Yes. And
it makes sense. It
just makes sense, because like you could read something like, I was just reading in, Abraham and Sarah, and this wasn't in the cultural study Bible, but because it's a regular NIV Bible, and then there's all the notes, but this was just in my other one. And it's talking about the story about when the three men came to his tent, you know, and that's the Lord. One of them is an angel or the Lord or however that is. People believe it's Jesus or whatever. These three men come to his tent and, you know, it's saying how he runs to greet them. And he, oh, please don't pass by and come in and please take a morsel of bread and let me wash your feet and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he goes and gives flour to Sarah and says, please bake some bread quickly. And then he gets the calf from the thing and gives it to his person who prepares this calf. And then, it's this whole rigmarole and you're sitting here going, oh, he must know these are angels or... Why is he doing all this? Does he know him? It gets confusing until you understand Middle Eastern culture, and particularly at that time where hospitality is in honor. They it taken very, very seriously. And then you go on to read later about, which this story is just, it just gets me. I'm sorry, I'm going long here. But I still don't get all this. But in Sodom and Gomorrah, And the angels go in there and Lot greets them at the gate. He's at the gate, you know, city gate where the dudes would hang out and talk about stuff. And he sees them and says, come with me to my home. And, you know, same thing, this kind of hospitality that was very important. And then all the men of the city, it says all, which I'm like, dang, came banging on his door saying, bring them out so that we can know them. Of course, they wanted to do have bad things. Yeah, they wanted to have with these new strangers. So yes. This is how bad this place was, you know, and Lot's like, no, don't do this. And they're like, we want them, bring them out. Yeah. And then Lot's like, oh, I've got these two virgin daughters, take them instead. And I'm like, what in the world? Yeah. Like, but that hospitality of protecting that, I mean, I'm inferring here. Also, let's just be honest, women didn't, weren't worth a lot. They weren't even hit. But that's surprising to me, too, because I'm like, you would protect the virtue of your daughters because that's how you were going to get them married and a dowry. And like, that's kind of how that went. And he was just like, nope, I'm going to protect these strangers. There's craziness to it. And you know, whatnot, and they were engaged and all. Anyway, it's a whole mess. But the whole point is, it makes a lot more sense when you have, because we would not do that. I would not, I mean, I don't even answer my door. Like, I'm not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're out there yelling. We're not saying a word.
No, I'm turning out the lights. No, anyway, but it's cool. It's the cultural background Bible. Yeah. There you go. I'll link awesome. To it. So there you go. That's all I got.
Right. Are you going to take some medicine and lay down?
Yep. You need to go take all your drugs and go get on the couch with your dog and watch some good. You know, Father Brown. I think there's a new season coming out.
Oh, is there?
I heard. I don't know when, but it's coming. So, you can maybe binge on that. So, thanks, guys, so much for listening this week. Hope it was helpful. Hope it was interesting. Hope it made you laugh a little bit. And until next time, goodbye, cornbread.
See you, corn dip. Hello, lady.
Hello, lady. I have a new microphone.
Oh, look at you.
And a new setup because my husband likes to buy me tech.
Yeah. If only we were really into it, we'd have all kinds of stuff, right?
I did mention, I said, I think it's time I would get a new mic because, you know, mine was just a whatever. And like,
that,
sure enough.
That looks as big as my head.
Well, yours looks as big as your head too. Yeah, it's short and fat. Look how cute she is.
She is cute.
And it's got a pop filter built in on it. A pop filter. I don't know. Oh, okay. He got me an arm.
Yeah.
I'm up in hoodies in the upstairs. Uh-huh. We're setting up this. I got a little upstairs studio too.
You got a studio.
Okay.
That's right.